The metal was still smoking and glowing white. Even so, he could see a pair of vac suit boots on the floor outside the hatchway. A double comm click sounded inside Ben's helmet. The signal meant his father was preparing to move, but it would be impossible to see the rear guard from his side of the room. He hit a chin toggle inside his helmet, intending to warn his dad about the ambusher, then saw the intruder's boots charging into the control room and realized his father was already moving. Holding the gas canister in one hand and his lightsaber in the other, Ben rolled from his hiding place. A line of 8 intruders was descending toward the diversionary hole in the viewport, all of them in a hurry. Like the Skywalkers, they were wearing full combat-rated vac suits and carrying lightsabers. Some also carried blasters, and most wore equipment belts with 2 sheaths, one for a slender glass-handled dagger and one for a curved heavy-bladed parang. Ben's father was already sliding on top of an equipment console, so intent on capturing a prisoner that he did not sense the rear guard coming through the hatch behind him. The intruder's faceplate was raised, revealing a lavender face with fine features and a long nose, slightly more slender than a human's. In her gloved hand, she was holding one of the dark parangs. Instead of leaping into a melee attack as Ben had expected, she stopped and raised the parang.
"Dad!"
Ben calmed.
"Roll, now!"
The parang flew, and Luke rolled, disappearing over a row of equipment cabinets just as the weapon spun past centimeters above his helmet. Unable to hear the calmed message, the woman grimaced and extended her hand, using the force to call the weapon back, and presenting her back to Ben as she moved to put the row of equipment cabinets between herself and Luke. Ben did not give her a chance to catch the parang. He simply force-leapt across the last 3 meters between them, pointing his lightsaber at her heart and thumbing the activation switch. To his relief, both his weapon and his body felt fully powered, though in the latter case, it was impossible to say whether the fuel was the hydrate he had quaffed earlier or his desperation to save his father. The woman must have had her own danger sense. Even before Ben's blade extended, she was spinning away, still reaching for her parang with one hand, igniting her own lightsaber with her other, and snapping a vicious heel kick at Ben's groin with her near foot. It was too fancy, too much. Ben merely stepped back and gave her empty hand a force tug. Instead of returning to her grasp, ready to throw again, the parang sliced her hand off at the wrist. The woman cried out, and her heel kick glanced off the canister he was holding. She attempted a trailing lightsaber slash at Ben's neck. He leaned away, then used the force to pull her center mass onto his own blade. In the next instant, Ben's entire body was tingling with danger sense, and he was spinning and slashing, his blade weaving a basket of protection as the woman's companions came charging toward him behind a wall of blaster fire. He retreated toward the hatch, at the same time calming his father.
"Hey, Dad, about that prisoner?"
"Go."
Luke came rolling over the bank of equipment cabinets, pouring blaster fire into the intruder he had been attempting to capture, then hit the floor and began to scramble toward the hatchway.
"And cover me." "Sure thing,"
Ben said. As he slipped through the hatch, Ben deliberately slammed the neck of the hand torch on the jamb. The head flew away on a jet of pressurized gas, and a rime of frost formed instantly on the cooling canister. He tossed it back into the control room. It began to fly about in the weightless environment, spewing explosive azetal fumes and bouncing off smoking equipment consoles. Ben took cover behind the jamb and drew his blaster. He began to fire around the corner, fully opening himself to the force so he could sense his father's location. He felt a wave of terror as the anonymous enemy realized what would happen when the concentration of azetal grew high enough to ignite. And then his father came flying through the hatchway feet first, low to the floor, and pouring bolts back into the control room. 2 heartbeats later, the enemy fire trailed off to nothing. Ben grabbed his father's ankle and sprinted down the corridor, dragging him along while he continued to cover the hatchway behind them. As Ben moved, he had to be careful to keep 1 foot on the floor so that he would continue to be affected by the station's primitive form of artificial gravity. 20 steps later, they were at the other end of the corridor, and no one was following. Ben stopped and released the ankle.
"That was some shooting,"
Ben cried.
"Did you get them all?"
Luke shook his head.
"Just 3. The others were force-leaping through that bolt hole I cut."
He righted himself, then extended a hand toward the far end of the corridor and used the force to lift the fallen hatch back into its place.
Whoever those guys are, they're no idiots. They know what's going to happen when the azetyl gas gets dense enough.